The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Hey, welcome back. Hope you had a good day. Lots going on for sure. The New Hampshire primary, landslide Donald Trump victory, which I think brings into focus even more the fact that Iowa was tinkered with and really ought to be nullified and set aside. Cruz exposed by people who have known him. Rubio exposed by people who have known him. Jeb Bush exposed by Jeb Bush. And Kasich being pushed up there by the old guard, the controllers, to try to provide some kind of an alternative to Donald Trump. Donald Trump is the most popular Republican presidential hopeful probably of all time in my life. I don't remember anyone more exciting to the people who has gathered more support, more grassroots, truly grassroots passion than has Donald Trump. It's an amazing phenomenon. So he is off and running and would have been in Iowa if it were not for the, in my opinion, criminal games and dirty tricks that the Cruz campaign launched at the last possible minute. So we will see. I'm expecting Carson, certainly Fiorina, to drop out very soon now. That'll leave six. And Kasich doesn't have it. He's a governor. He's telegenically very unappealing. His character is very unappealing, and he is being pushed as Cruz, and with his lies and deceit, and Rubio with his apparent homosexual and now gay porn background, who's going to bank on them? So we also have the specter of Jeb Bush, who has burned up, what was it, $120 million already in super PAC money? And has virtually nothing to show for it. I think he got 11 or 12% in New Hampshire. And that, you never know with voting. There is always vote fraud. And that apparently also took place in Iowa on the behalf of Hillary Clinton. But we'll talk in hour three tonight with Joel Skousen about the results today. That'll be interesting as well. It has been a number of years since I've had our first guest on. He is a very unusual man, very bright. He gets the big picture. He gets it all. His name is Christopher John Bjerknes. That's B-J-E-R-K-N-E-S, Bjerknes. He's a writer and researcher who has published numerous books and articles on the history of the theory of relativity, on Einstein, on Zionism, and the American genocide. Five of his books are currently in print and are available on Amazon right now. His work has provoked enormous controversy, and his books have been reviewed in mainstream publications by leading academics in their fields, including John Stachel, the first editor of the Einstein Papers Project, and Stephen Leonard Jacobs, the first vice president of the International Association of Genocide Scholars. So he comes very highly regarded. Let me see if I can find his current, most current books. Here we go. Mileva Einstein-Merihi, or Merity, quote, Einstein's partner in crime. This is very interesting stuff. We're going to talk about it tonight. Albert Einstein, the incorrigible racist. We're going to talk about that. And we're also going to talk about the Jewish genocide of American Christians, which is going on right now in the Middle East through the auspices of the insaniacs called ISIS. They are cutting off the heads of Christian men, women, and little children. They need to be expunged genetically from the planet, all of them, politically, genetically, philosophically. We are in the 21st century. We're not in the Dark Ages. These people have got to go. Now, if the Saudis invade the Middle East, as they're talking about, they claim to have 150,000 troops, including a lot of mercenaries, lined up and ready to go, and if the biggest thug in Middle East history, Erdogan, turns his army loose on Syria, we've got World War III, or certainly a major Mideast regional war. Watch and see. That's how close we are, right on the paper's edge. So with that, let's welcome Christopher John Bjerknes back to the program. I don't know how long it's been, Chris, but it's been a long time. Welcome back.
Thank you very much, Jeff, and thank you for that wonderful introduction. I think it's been almost 10 years, and the things that we were talking about then are happening today.
Yes, they absolutely are, and you're correct. Todd, if you can push him up on the upper ends of the EQ, I think he'll come in a little more clearly. You sound fine, but I want to get it sharper. Okay, now, the last time you were on, I don't remember what we talked about, but this whole Einstein thing looms, according to your research, as one of the biggest frauds of modern history in terms of science, notoriety, and legend. It's an enormous story. And yet, of course, the Jewish-controlled, Zionist-controlled mainstream media will not touch it. You'd think that they maybe would drag it out and debunk it, but oh no, no publicity is the best publicity. So they bury the story. Tell us about Albert Einstein and this this accomplice of his, Mileva Einstein-Merihi.
Mileva Einstein-Merihi was Albert Einstein's first wife, and they were students together in Switzerland. And they worked together on their research and in their studies, and Mileva Einstein-Merihi coached Albert Einstein in his mathematics. He was always very weak in mathematics.
Huh. Interesting.
And when
did Albert she coach Einstein, him on his hair in later life, too? Never mind.
If she did, she was a very poor coach.
Actually, it was a pretty slick idea because it has stuck. It's become his whole image. Anyway, go ahead.
Yes. When Einstein passed away in 1955...
After sleeping with Marilyn Monroe.
As legend has it, yes.
Yeah.
Many people say it never happened, but as legend has it, yes.
Okay.
A famous Soviet physicist, Abram Yoffa, who had seen the original manuscripts of the Special Theory of Relativity, said that the author of those manuscripts was Einstein-Merihi. And Einstein-Merihi was Albert Einstein's wife. He never went by that name, and that's the name that she went by. And then later, a friend of Yoffa clarified that the original manuscripts of Einstein's famous 1905 papers were signed Einstein-Merihi.
Interesting. Interesting. Let me ask you a quick question, a little bit aside from this, but it is apparently a matter of record that Albert worked in the patent office at some level of importance and may have taken certain liberties with the information that was coming to pass. Any truth to that in your research?
Absolutely. He worked in the patent office, and he not only had access to new ideas that people had, he had access to wonderful scientific libraries with the latest scientific data and publications from around the world.
Can we prove that, Chris? Can we point to solid information that would substantiate that? I mean, I think it's just a circumstantial, obvious case of fraud and theft. I mean, here he is, a scientist, allegedly, on the lookout for new and exciting things, working with these things, you know, the brain trust of science all around him. Why wouldn't he take things?
Well, if you're implying that he was taking people's patent ideas, I haven't researched that. My research focuses more on his plagiarism of scientific ideas, which he then published in Annalen der Physik in Germany.
Right. Well, that was what I was getting at. Just general, broad-brushed plagiarism. Sure. Not patent theft. Understand. But this is...
But there is an issue related to Mileva Einstein-Meredy that he did seek patents and had some innovations and inventions of his own that Mileva participated in, and she never got credit for it.
Behind
to
every...
That extent, that's true, yes.
Uh-huh. Behind every good man is a woman, right? In this case, it may have been a towering genius of a woman.
Absolutely. She was well ahead of her time. She was one of very few women to pursue the study of physics, and she did very well.
What happened to her after Al dumped her? Or maybe she dumped him. I don't know.
Well, they were divorced, I think, in 1914, and Albert Einstein married his cousin so that he could sleep with her and her daughters. He first tried to solicit her daughters to marry him, and they refused. And then he married his cousin. But what happened to her is that...
Wait. Hold on. He tried to solicit his own daughters?
Not his own daughters, his cousin's daughters.
Okay. All right. How old were these children? Do we know?
I think they were about 16 and 17.
It comes close to pedophilia. All right.
It's not only pedophilia, it's incest. And it was adultery because at that time he was married to Mileva.
Yeah, I was getting to that. It's obviously adultery. And what a story. Okay, so he couldn't, I won't speak crudely, he would not be able to sleep with the little girls, so he married his cousin. All right.
Yes, whom he was also sleeping with.
Okay.
And he referred to the entire family that he then created as his small harem in his correspondence.
That's pretty damning. See, that's further underscores the theory, the belief by some, the folklore, that he did sleep with Marilyn Monroe. So,
and there is an extant letter from his wife's daughter where she wrote to Georg Nikolai that Albert was making sexual advances towards her, and she didn't reciprocate those feelings and didn't want anything to do with him.
Uh-huh. This was the cousin wife?
This was the cousin's daughter.
Okay, but daughter, I mean, when you said wife, we're talking about the cousin, and it was her daughter.
Daughter, and he tried to marry her daughter first, and when she rejected him, and we know the facts of it because of that correspondence, he then married her so that he would have the entire collection.
Why is it that, now this is, again, I'm not making this up, but the Jewish culture tends to be sexually perverted in many, many people's opinion, including Jews. They just have a thing about sex. And I'm not saying it's good. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm saying it is. They own the porn industry. They are behind the destruction of the American moral fiber. So there you go. And, you know, we could do a whole program on that issue. Any truth to that in your opinion as a researcher?
Absolutely. And it goes back to the ancient world. I think it is a genetic lineage that they have, because in the ancient temples they would utilize male and female homosexual prostitutes to lure in converts into the temple.
Huh.
And then they would engage in sex in the synagogues and in the temple with these prostitutes and try to convert people to Judaism. So I think that instilled in them a genetic tendency toward perversion.
I had a...
And there is also a religious aspect to it. Especially in the Kabbalah, they view God as having both male and female characteristics, and they believe that humanity is created in God's image, and therefore God is a hermaphrodite.
Our bisexuality is perfectly fine, then.
Yes, it's not only fine, it's encouraged, and it's been encouraged by Jews for a very long time, and it's prevalent in their literature and in their habits.
Okay, onward with the story of Albert Einstein. He began to accrue notice as a relatively young physicist. And how much was it attributed to, I guess we could say, how much Mileva was there and how much was Albert involved? Was he just a conduit for her genius?
He may well have been, because there are many anecdotal accounts which portray him in a very negative light as being almost a charming idiot. And she, on the other hand, was always held in high esteem. But if she were so bright, why would she hook up with him?
Well, maybe she had a sex thing, too. Who knows?
Who knows? She had some deformity that made it difficult for her to walk, and apparently she had a hard time finding a mate.
Really? Well, that might have appealed to young, debauched Albert. Who knows?
And I think her intelligence appealed to him. I think he pursued her and not the other way around.
Most interesting.
But he impregnated her early on and then abandoned her, and they had a daughter together named Lizero, who has disappeared from the record, and nobody knows what happened to that child. And then it was only later that they wed in 1903 and then had their son.
Okay. This is dastardly news for Einstein lovers, but Christopher has spent many, many years on this subject, digging and looking and reading. It's not just something he concocted on his own. All right, so tell us more about this Mileva. What happened to her after they were divorced? Do we know? Did she continue to work in physics? Did she ever let the cat out of the bag?
Well, she kind of had Einstein in a vice, because when they divorced, part of their divorce agreement stipulated that should he ever win the Nobel Prize, he was obliged to give her the winning. And he did not give her funds to take care of their children in any other context except when he won the Nobel Prize. He immediately paid her the full amount of money, and I believe it was hush money.
Oh, of course.
The reason that she demanded those earnings is because he was winning the Nobel Prize because of his fame for papers that she wrote, or at least co-authored.
Wow, what a fascinating woman. I'd really like to see her get her just due in physics and in the scientific community. Is this something that you are essentially the first to really promulgate and to broadcast via your writings, that she existed and was apparently the genesis of what we think of as Einstein's genius?
I'm happy to say no, so that I don't have to stand alone on this. There was a physicist in Yugoslavia named Zdenko Trubović-Jurić who came across the obituary that Jofa wrote and immediately put two and two together and realized that Mileva was involved in publishing those papers. And she wrote a book, I believe it was in 1968, in Albert Einstein's Shadow, The Tragic Story of Mileva-Einstein Marriage.
Oh, that book exists. Oh.
That book exists. It was translated into German, and I think in some of the translations, some of the accusations that she made disappeared, but I'm not clear on that. And then that was one strong thing that indicated that Mileva had done that. But then later, Einstein's correspondence to Mileva was published, and that correspondence frequently refers to their collaborative work on the theory of relativity and other things. And that rebuttressed the idea that she was his scientific collaborator and a he detailed the correspondence and how it indicated that they were partners. And then I discovered a biography published by Einstein's friend in 1921. It was the first biography of Einstein, and it came right after he became famous. And mm-hmm. the man who wrote the biography was one of the people who promoted Einstein and said that he wanted to build a cult around Einstein. And in that book, he also revealed that Mileva was Albert Einstein's scientific collaborator. So those three independent things all point to the idea that she was his collaborator, and they were all expressed by people who had no awareness of the other thing. So it's three independent corroborations.
Very interesting.
Some of them from their own mouths, you know, what Mileva yeah. said and what Albert Einstein said.
Okay. As his career continued and he grew older and became world famous, it is said that his work really never advanced a whole lot beyond the original theory of relativity and that early work, which I'm hearing from you probably came from Mileva, most of it, maybe all of it, I don't know. Is there any truth to that, that his career really didn't plow any new ground? He didn't really turn in any new massive insights into E equals MC squared, the universe as we know it, or anything else. Did he do much after their marriage?
No, and it's very interesting that you say that and very insightful. I point that out in my book, that subsequent to his divorce, he did not do much. And he made many mistakes and ventured off into some very far-out things that didn't pan out.
Yes, I've read that. Yes, he was actually embarrassed by some of his stupidity, according to the things I've read. Not a lot of them, but some. He went off into weird and unusual areas that had no substantiation, and people were kind of questioning, why did he do that? What? Anyway, now we know.
And the one significant thing that he did after the divorce from Mileva was the general theory of relativity, but the incipient part of that began while he was still working with her, and then the fulfillment of that was completed by a man named David Hilbert.
He didn't even complete it. It was somebody else.
Absolutely. It was David Hilbert who came up with the generally covariant equation, field equations of the general theory of relativity. And the other aspects of general relativity were also plagiarized from earlier sciences.
What was the fellow's name? David what?
David Hilbert.
Hilbert.
Yes, he was a famous mathematician at Göttingen University.
Was he Jewish?
No, he was not. His father was a Protestant preacher.
Okay, well, there's your point. Albert Einstein is the god of science, and that position is carefully manicured and maintained by the Jewish establishment. This is all fascinating.
Design.
Oh, sure.
They promoted him because he became a Zionist.
Uh-huh.
And Zionism was becoming very unpopular, especially among Jews at the time, and they needed a spokesman. There is also a terrible insecurity among the Jewish people, because from ancient times, Jews were always viewed as the people of the book.
Yeah.
Whenever they studied, all they did was study the Torah and the Talmud and Kabbalah, and they never studied or pursued science and the arts. And they considered it chutzpah to create scientific laws, because those laws would make man greater than God. And they languished and lagged behind Europeans during the Renaissance. And Jews had a very bad reputation for being mentally sterile and for never producing geniuses.
Wow, fascinating. Hold on, Christopher, I have to pause just for a couple minutes. We'll come right back. This is remarkable. Conversation with a remarkable author, researcher, writer, Christopher John Bjorknes, who has put together dynamite here. I would think, just in a quick reflexive way, that legitimate, honest feminists would leap to your defense. Here we have the arguably the greatest scientific mind of the last century was really a woman. She should get credit. Absolute credit. Are you getting any support from feminism? Feminists?
You think? That's an interesting story. When I came out with my book, I did immediately get a strong response from feminists around the world. Margareta Mauer and others contacted me and were interested in my work, but they were terribly disappointed to discover that even though Einstein, Mileva, Meredith was either the sole author or co-author of the works themselves were unoriginal. So it put them in a bind, because if they were to admit that Albert Einstein plagiarized from Mileva Einstein Meredy, they were also therefore forced to admit that she also plagiarized from Lorentz and Poincaré and Gibbs and Boltzmann and Larmor and Foote and David Hilbert, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Is there evidence to that?
Oh, overwhelming.
So she was a plagiarist. He plagiarized or used her. So it's all essentially a Jewish.
She never came out with it.
Yeah,
she had it over him, and he had it over her.
I got it.
The Nobel Prize winning.
I got it. Fascinating. So this is all a Zionist hustle.
It was a Zionist hustle, and Einstein's racist Zionism played strongly into it, as well as his misogyny.
What? Albert Einstein, a racist? A misogynist? Oh, my. All right, I'm kidding.
And the segregationist. One of the strongest segregationists I've ever read.
Tell us more.
Well, Einstein became a racial Zionist. He believed that anti-Semitism was good for the Jews because it forced them into segregation. And that was one of the issues that led up to the idea that Jews wanted to be acknowledged as producing great minds and great people. When the Jews were finally emancipated from the ghettos in Europe, they began to enter Gentile society, and they tried to swarm the universities and take on all that knowledge which had been denied to them.
Uh-huh.
And there was a man named Moses Mendelssohn who created Reform Judaism so that Jews could fit in with Christians, and they began to assimilate and intermarry, and Jews began to disappear.
Uh-huh.
And this was very alarming. And at the same time that emancipation occurred, the Rothschild banking family became immensely wealthy and wanted to become the kings of the Jews and buy Palestine. And those two ideas converged into Zionism, that the only way to preserve the Jewish race from assimilation was to segregate it in Palestine and make Rothschild the king of the Jews so that he could fulfill the ancient Jewish messianic prophecy.
So they really wanted to be unto themselves, and boy, are they. The latest is now, even though Netanyahu claims how everyone is treated equally in Israel, and you can just hear people gagging on that one, the Israeli Jews, the Israeli Christians, the Israeli Arabs, the Israeli agnostics, and so forth, all treated equally. No, his latest pronouncement is that he wants to boot all of the Israeli Arabs out of the Knesset, that they should not be allowed to serve in there. This is the most racist country on the face of the earth, the most racist people on the face of the earth, period. Now, I'm not speaking about all Jews. There are many out there who have married, who do assimilate, who don't think like that. But unfortunately, they're not the dominant majority. This is a worldwide movement to keep Jews Jewish and not to have them become watered down. Correct?
Absolutely. And Einstein was a very strong advocate of those ideas. He did not want Jews to participate in Gentile government. He did not want Jews to intermarry, and he wanted Jews to remain in segregated societies, and he lamented the loss of the ghettos.
He lamented the loss of the ghettos because of all the sympathetic publicity that they generated, yes?
In part, yes. And that was part of what happened in World War II, and after World War II, he tried to call upon that sympathy to again push forward his Zionist agenda, and to say that all revolution was to create a segregated state.
Uh-huh.
But he thought that that was a good thing, that anti-Semitism prevented Jews from assimilating.
Uh-huh.
And he sponsored it, promoted it, applauded it, and said that it was the only thing that kept the Jewish race alive. But that's only half of his racism. The other half of his racism is the complete hypocrisy that all other nations ought to give up their nationhood, their race, their language, et cetera, for the sake of a world government which would then be ruled out of Jerusalem.
You bet. Yeah.
And he advocated that. He advocated world government and the complete destruction of all Gentile nations. And he wanted the German people to be exterminated and ultimately all Europeans to be exterminated and
uh-huh.
for the Chinese to replace Europeans.
Well, that mentality is still...
Exactly.
That mentality is what's behind the invasion of Europe by 1.5 million illegal Muslim immigrants and a pending 4 million more who are about to descend on Europe. This is the same thought line being literally formulated and implemented right before our very eyes.
You probably don't remember it, but I do. On the last program that we did together, we were talking about Ron Paul, and we were talking about someone I had just then discovered named Richard Kudenhove Kalergi. And Richard Kudenhove Kalergi in the 1920s was promulgating the idea of a European Union, and he did not want to do it to preserve the European race, but to destroy the European race.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
he
yeah.
said that he wanted to make the Jews a master race over the entire world, and that Europeans should breed with Africans and with Middle Easterners and Asians
right.
so that they would lose any superior qualities that they had, and it
yep.
would then be easier for Jews to dominate them. I'm stating exactly what he stated.
Mm-hmm. This is remarkable because it explains how all of that evil was shifted over to the German politicians, the German people, and Germany itself. They weren't the superior race. It was always the Zionists who were doing it. They hid brilliantly behind it. You got to give them credit for that. Germany is destroyed as of this time in our lives. World War I, World War II, post-World War II, the genocide of the German people, which went on for 8 more years, and then ultimately, of course, Germany is a Zionist vassal state. No question about it, none. And it's a great tragedy because this was a light to the world. Early 20th century Germany was extraordinary, and it had to be knocked down. Churchill, in his biography, admitted it. He said this was not World War II, a war against Germany in terms of its National Socialism. It was war against Germany and the German people to annihilate them. He didn't go on to say why, but Churchill, of course, was had Jewish ancestry and was the a boy slave, as it were, of Bernard Baruch and other massively wealthy Zionists in the early 20th century. So he was following orders.
Absolutely, and he was a proud Zionist from early on, very early on.
Uh-huh.
And in the early 1920s, he published a newspaper article where he defined a struggle between Bolshevism and Zionism and said that Gentiles better take their pick. Do they want to end up as the Russians did in the Soviet Union, or would they cave and allow the Zionists to take over Palestine so that all the Jewish terrorists would flow there instead of destroying Europe? So
well, this is
essentially...
Yeah, this is fascinating because Rabbi Michael Dove Wiesmandl worked out that deal in 1942 to get all the Jews released from German-controlled Europe. Where would they go? They would be allowed to go to Spain, and they had to sign agreements that they would not go to Palestine. The Germans knew what was up. They wanted to stop that. They had no problem letting all these people go. They gave a deal, an agreement, to Wiesmandl, who went to World Zionist Headquarters in Switzerland, and said, I need $3 million U.S., and I need your permission to go ahead and orchestrate this campaign to liberate our people and free them from Europe. The Germans don't want them. They want them out of Europe. But they cannot go to Palestine. The Zionists said, forget it, Rabbi, go home, you're not getting a dime. Unless a lot of Jews suffer during the war and die, we will not be able to establish Israel as easily as we will after the war. This is all true. It's written by a Jewish rabbi. So,
well, it's not only true, but it was precipitated by the fact that the Jews essentially had control over Palestine after the breakup of the Ottoman Empire in World War One.
Yes, yes.
They were able to persuade some Jews to move down to Palestine, but not very large numbers, and those who did go down there returned. They didn't like it. So they had to cause tremendous suffering, as you said, among the Jews in order to force them to go to Palestine. And that is why they would not let them go to Palestine under peaceful conditions.
Yeah,
but instead wanted them persecuted so that they would go to Palestine and stay. And they created not only what you were talking about in Spain, but in China, they created a Zionist state, and they created an oblast in the Soviet Union that they were going to convert into a Zionist state. And the plan was always to first get the Jews segregated, teach them to be Jews again, and then move them into Palestine.
It's a fascinating tidbit you just announced. Let me just drop this in. There is a small existing Zionist Jewish enclave still in China, is there not?
I don't know. I know in the 1930s, there were tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of Jews that went to China.
Yeah, I think there's some still there.
It would not surprise me at all. I know that the Communist Party in China is run by Jews and always has been, and Mao Zedong was educated and surrounded by Jews.
Chinese.
I think Jews always sit on their equivalent of whatever their parliament is. There are always Jewish members on that.
Wow.
And the go-betweens, the back and forth between the Jews and the Nixon administration and all of that were always Jews.
Okay, carry on. This is really remarkable history. Einstein, the racist, a genocidal racist, too. He had no problem with that, I'm sure. The Armenian genocide was perpetrated by Zionist Jews. And how many died? What, 1 or 2 million at least?
The official figures hover around 1.5 million.
Mm-hmm.
The Turks, of course, contest that, and they've hired many Jews to contest it, and the Israeli Knesset would never recognize the Armenian genocide, and the ADL and other organizations opposed Armenian genocide recognition.
Right.
And many people believe that's because they don't want the severity of the Jewish Holocaust to be diminished in comparison, but I suspect that the bigger reason is that they don't want the fact revealed that the Young Turks were not Turks, they were actually Jews.
That's a fact. I've read that. It's not common knowledge, but it's quite true. Zionist Jews behind much of, I guess, the end of the Ottoman Empire, and they filled the vacuum there. That's very interesting.
Well, what happened was, as I was explaining earlier, the Rothschilds wanted to take over Palestine and get all the Jews into Palestine so that they would cease the assimilation that started taking place after emancipation.
Mm-hmm.
And they floated the idea that they could resolve all of the Ottoman Empire's debts by buying Palestine. And
I
they
see.
First ran the Ottoman Empire into severe debt, and then they had Herzl go down through a negotiator to talk to the Sultan and offer him up the idea that they could settle all those debts for him if he would sell them Palestine.
So that was the deal, and Herzl did that. Wow, very interesting.
Herzl did that, and the Sultan rejected the deal, and the deal had another part of it. Herzl said that he could use his power in the Jewish press to cover up all the atrocities that the Sultan had committed against Christians in the empire.
Mm-hmm.
But he still rejected that, and he was known as the sick man of Europe because the empire was crumbling from decadence and from debt.
Mm-hmm. Actually, and the whole Ottoman Empire was known as the sick man of Europe, too, yes.
That's right. And when Herzl failed, a group of Jewish Freemasons in Salonika, Greece, set about to create a plot for a coup so that they could overthrow the empire and then destroy it from within by promoting war with Europe. And that's how the First World War got kicked off. and the breakup of the empire through attrition. And one of the ways that they could provoke that war was to slaughter Armenian Christians and then publicize that in the press to draw sympathy for those Christians in the West for a world war against the Ottoman Empire. And they also had a religious myth that the Armenians are the Amalekites of the Old Testament. And in several places in the Old Testament, it states that the Amalekites have to be exterminated before the Jews can obtain atonement and before they can take over the land of Palestine.
I think this is may well be the last year for what we call Palestine. Those people in Gaza all want out. They're finished. They want to leave. I think it was 80% who were interviewed and asked. They want out. They want to go. They just want out. No one's going to invest money in Palestine because the Jews will just knock down anything that's built. Palestine being Gaza right now, they're being thrown out. Yeah, go ahead.
The Arab support for the Palestinians was always a farce. Saudi Arabia was always an ally of Israel and never did anything serious to promote the interests of the Palestinians. But unfortunately, it's not going to end there because in Genesis chapter 15, verse 18, the covenant states that the real land of Israel is from the Nile River to the Euphrates.
Right, greater
Israel.
Which is
why we see what's happening in Syria and in Gaza and in the Sinai leading up to the Israelis taking over that entire territory. They're not going to stop at getting rid of the Palestinians.
No, they're not. Palestinians are doomed. I maintain that there are architectural drawings for massive developments in Gaza on the Mediterranean shores. I think they want to build a huge gambling resort community there. They love that kind of thing. Tel Aviv is being called now Hollywood East by a lot of people.
They also want to become major players in the energy market, the flow of natural gas and the flow of oil through it.
Yeah, they announced a pipeline to Greece, and where was it yesterday? Greece? I can't remember the other location, but yes, Jewish Israeli pipelines, one to Greece and one to somewhere else. But I've got the story up there.
It's amazing, but it's happening.
Oh, it is happening. The Palestinians are really out of time. There's no one going to come to their rescue. They're going to they're going to be expunged. I once talked to a Jewish man who used to be a guest on this program, and he told me, he's Israeli, he said, if there was a button I could push, they would instantly kill every Palestinian on the face of the earth. I would leap for that button. And that was probably the last time I had him on the program. He didn't say that on the air, he said it off the air. But there's tremendous hatred, and it'll never go away.
Well, if you read about Joshua and Moses and what the Old Testament tells the Jews to do, that's what they tell them to do. They tell them to absolutely exterminate all the people in the land so that they can never try to reclaim it. And the Bible expressly states that they should eliminate all of their orchards, burn down their houses, and you see that that's exactly what they do when they take over and establish settlements in the West Bank, and they're going to start doing it soon, as you say, in Gaza. They follow their biblical prescription for taking over the land. And the Jews, it's very important to point out that the Jews were never, even in their own claims, the native inhabitants of Palestine. They were from Ur. They were Babylonian Semites.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and it's funny also, in a very tragic way, that their war on the other peoples in the area is a war against Semitic peoples, too. So,
oh, yes, absolutely.
The term anti-Semite is absurd.
It's absurd, and it was coined by a Jew who was posing as an anti-Semite, Wilhelm Marr, around 1875. And he described himself as a professional anti-Semite, and he coined that term. And it referred to language and not race, the Semitic language, which the Jews have and always had.
So how are your books being received, Christopher?
I just got them out a couple of weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
In the past, they were very controversial.
Oh, I remember.
They inspired campaigns against me, and they inspired great support.
Mm-hmm.
And there has always been, although it's lessening, the fear that academics have that if they come out openly in public in support of my work, that they will be labeled as anti-Semites. But that's beginning to erode, and the Armenian community held a conference for me when I first came out with my book. Almost, well, it was 10 years ago, The Jewish Genocide of Armenian Christians. And that was well received privately, but the Armenian press attacked me. But none of the Armenian historians are coming out with the facts because they don't want to be attacked. And Armenia as a country is also in a very precarious position.
Really? So they're still afraid? Well,
they're still afraid, and they're also a bit opportunist. They want to ensure that they have full leverage against Turkey,
mm-hmm.
and they want to utilize their major connections with Jews and finance to their best advantage. So they see it as something to utilize as a tool and a weapon should they need it. But if they don't need it, they would rather maximize their leverage against Turkey rather than bring out the full truth of who is it that instigated the genocide. And the Turks certainly did slaughter the Armenians, as did the Kurds, but it was these crypto-Jews who called themselves Young Turks
mm-hmm.
and overthrew the Sultan, who created the plan to exterminate the Armenians and issued all of the orders that were then carried out to exterminate the Armenians. And the orders specified that they should kill every man, woman, and child. And again, the orders read exactly like Old Testament statements.
Wow, remarkable. Are there Jews in China? A lot of them. They've been there for quite a long time. They're very quiet. If you look this up...
Yes, there are also Jews that look like Chinese that have been there for centuries.
I was going to say, if you look this up, you'll find pictures of what appear to be Chinese wearing yarmulkes. And
their passports state that they're Jews.
How interesting.
When the religion is listed under their passport, they show a Star of David or something. I recall that now, yes.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Well, it's a huge story, and it's too bad that the Jewish people who care can't support this and just tell the truth. You know, what the hell?
I think, in terms of the issues that I talk about, there are probably more Jews who, or at least it used to be that there were more Jews who would come out and support it than non-Jews.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
They didn't fear being called anti-Semitic.
No. What do they got to lose there? Right, exactly. Christopher, we'll have you back on again. Great luck with the books to you. It took a lot of courage for you to write these books. They are, again, The Jewish Genocide of Armenian Christians, Albert Einstein, the Incorrigible Racist, and Mileva Einstein Marady, Einstein's Partner in Crime. It's stunning history, not revisionist history, but revisionist history with the truth. All right. We'll talk to you again, Christopher. Thank you very much for being here. I've enjoyed it.
Thank you very, very much, Jeff, and thank you for your decade of support of my work.
Oh, indeed. Happy to do it. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right. Christopher John Bjorknes, and really amazing stuff when you think about it. You think about how we're brought up and how these legends are literally imprinted on our DNA, practically, cultural DNA anyway, and how they're not true. Wow. All right, back with hour number two in just a couple minutes as we go over to Brighton to talk to Terrible Tim and see how unpleasant he is tonight in just a minute.